Oh, well, they're calling this old boy the TikTok Bachelor.
Imagine traveling the country, dating one person from each state.
You date crazy, you don't marry it.
I mean, they're all tens.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the 50 Dates, 50 States podcast. I'm your host, creator, and previous dater of 50 Dates, 50 States, Matt Wernig. And we have a phenomenal episode in store for you guys today. This is the second episode of the new and improved 50 Dates, 50 States podcast. If you guys haven't listened to the first one, make sure you check that out on the YouTube channel, or it is also on all streaming platforms, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So I love doing that first one. It was great. Sarah, the one behind the glass here, was a rock star in it. It was awesome. So if you guys haven't listened to it, make sure you check that out. And before I dive into the episode, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button if you are listening slash watching on YouTube. But in today's episode, a little bit of a rundown for you guys. What we are going to talk about is we're going to talk about some of the pros and cons of doing 50 Dates, 50 States. I get asked about a lot of that. What I looked for when picking a date. We're going to do a fan segment where I tell you guys a fun story about a fan. I'm going to start doing that every episode where I tell you guys a fun fan interaction I've had or story about a fan that I've encountered while on the road or just, you know, in my everyday life. So we'll have a fan segment on that. I'm going to do state versus state. That is where I will be drawing out of a hat, out of all 50 states that are in the hat, and I will pick out two states at random. And out of those states, it will go through a process of categories, and we will see which state I prefer over the other in those categories. I will also have a hot take today. In the hot take, I'm going to start doing, and that's going to be based on different things. It could be dating or travel, stuff that's, you know, in semi-relation to 50 Dates, 50 States, whether that's dating or travel or meeting people and whatnot. And then, as always, I will be answering some fan questions at the end. So let's dive into it, and we are going to start with what I looked for when picking a date in season two. I get asked this question all the time, and there were basically four things that I really looked at when picking a date. And the first thing was age. I wanted all my dates to be 21 plus. I kind of talked about that in the last episode, but in the last episode, that was more so for season three, what I want the new star. But for me, I'm 26 years old. I was 25 out on the road for season two. And so I just wanted all my dates above 21. We didn't drink on every date, but just, I don't know, for my age preference, I guess you could say. So that's something I looked at. Location was another big thing, whether that was my own personal bias of a new place I wanted to visit in a state, or if I had any sort of sponsor or PR obligations. If I had a news interview in a certain town, I'd have to kind of look for a date who was in that town, or if I had some sponsor responsibilities and content I had to film for a sponsor or meet up with a sponsor, then I'd look in that location as well. Their application, their profiles, obviously. So every girl that applied for me to go on a date with, I would look at their applications. I'd try to look at as many as I could. I think in total we probably got, I'd probably say over 12,000 applications, which is just insane. But I'd look at the applications and what their date ideas would be, and me or and them telling them a little bit about themselves to me, and also just their profile, see if they're outgoing, see if they seem fun, see if they seem creative, just all these different things, because I didn't want to go on a date with girls who are just duds, you know, sticks in the mud. Nobody likes that. And I like to think I lucked out. I feel like out of all 50 dates, I'm going to ballpark it here, but I'm going to say that out of all 50 dates, I hit a home run with about 42 of them. In terms of, like, that was, like, a great date. There was probably 8 that were like, you know, it was either a little awkward, a little quiet, or we didn't mesh well, or there was some friction or whatever that may be. But I feel like I lucked out pretty good. And then the last thing being looks. Obviously, I'm going to go on a date with someone that I'm attracted to. A lot of people roast me, and a lot of people have got on me for having a type. I still don't think I have a type, but that's up for debate, I suppose. So let me know what you think in the comments, I guess. But that is everything that I look for when picking a date. If you guys didn't listen to the first one, in the first episode of the new and improved 50 Dates, 50 States podcast, I talked about what I'm looking for for the new star to have. And so you guys can check that out if you're interested. Moving on, we are going to go into the pros and cons of 50 dates, 50 states. Now, the pros highly outweigh the cons because 50 dates, 50 states is just awesome. But we'll start with the pros. And obviously the pros being traveling to all 50 states, that is such an amazing experience. And it's so cool to just like say you've done. It's like an accomplishment. And I think one of my favorite things about 50 dates, 50 states is that I can now relate to everybody in the U.S. Like, that is so cool to me. And the fact that I can have a conversation with someone, and in that conversation, I'm going to be like, oh, where are you from? And then they go, oh, I'm from Indiana. I'm like, okay, cool. I've been to Indiana. Where at? And then I'm like, oh, Fort Wayne. They're like, oh, my daughter's from Fort Wayne, or my daughter goes to school in Fort Wayne. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And so it just since I've traveled to all 50 states, I feel like it's more of a small world to me, which is awesome and one of my favorite things about it. Going on a date with a different girl in each state, that's obviously a huge perk as well. The two biggest things, traveling to all 50 states and going on a date in each state. Going on a date in each state is so cool because you get to see these different backgrounds of people. And season one and season two were very different because season one, it was just me running around with my iPhone going on dates in every state. But season two was a lot different because it was more hyped around. I had a cameraman, had an editor. Me and my dates were mic'd up. It was definitely a lot more exposure. And so it was very interesting to see the difference between season one and season two that way and how my dates react. And some dates are very different on camera versus off of camera. I'll table that conversation for another time. But going on a date with a girl in each date's so fun. Meeting all these kinds of different personalities, trading different stories. I feel like I do get very repetitive because I'm meeting 50 new people. So it's always like, oh, I went to college here. Oh, this used to be my job. Or, oh, I created 50 dates, 50 states this way. And so I answer a lot of those just like basic questions over and over. But still an awesome, awesome thing meeting all these gals. Another huge pro is meeting so many people, not just my dates, but it could be related to my dates, whether it's their family, whether it's their roommates, whether it's their friends, or just people outside of my dates, whether that's someone I meet at the gas station or people who are asking what the car's about, sponsors, fans, followers. That's just like such a cool thing to do is meet all these different people. Which goes into creating new connections, which is another huge pro. Like, I've met so many people across the U.S. now. If I'm in a certain area, I can be like, oh, hey, I'll like stop by and see them that they work at this bar. They own this restaurant or they own this hotel and they'll let me stay for free, whatever it is. Like, that's just a huge benefit is just creating all these new connections, which is awesome. I also love telling a story like through my content. I think that's super, super cool. And I think it's fun to do and try and figure out how you tell the story. How do you create that piece of content that's engaging or entertaining? And so it's fun to tell a story of my date and our date and her background and my travels. It's really cool to story tell that way. Growing a following and meeting my followers. I know I already mentioned meeting my followers, but I think growing a following is it's cool because it's stressful at times, but it's also just like cool to try and figure it out along the way and to see the numbers grow or when you hit something go viral and you get a lot of likes or you get a lot of shares or followers, like that's just cool. And it kind of just adds to the whole growth of the brand of 50 Dates, 50 States. And then I think just going into like different food, drinks, cultures, and lifestyles, that goes into the travel aspect. But I just think that's super sweet to experience because each state's known for different things. Whether you're in Maine and you're trying Maine like fresh Maine lobster, or you're in Texas and you're having in Texas this year, in this season I had they call them calf fries, which are cow balls, and they're just like deep fried. They're they're not gross. They're like, this is gonna sound weird because I'm talking about animals' testicles, but they are kind of slimy in a way, which you could probably imagine. I feel like I'm getting graphic. But it's weird. And you dip them in gravy, which really throws you off, like, just looking at them. But, yeah, all right. Yeah, we're going to move on. But, anyway, that's just, like, cool to experience different things, even though they might be bizarre, whether that's, yeah, the calf fries in Texas or lobster in Maine or Cajun crawfish in Louisiana or alligator or frogs or whatever it is. Like, I think it's just cool, and that's just like food, but also different drinks and different lifestyles is awesome to experience. The cons of 50 Dates, 50 States. Now, the cons, when I say cons, I just mean more of the like hard parts, not looking at these like, oh, that's absolutely terrible. It's just these things can be difficult when on the road and when being or when doing 50 Dates, 50 States. And one of those being living out of a suitcase, that is extremely difficult. And I mean, doing this for 6 months, like on the road, season one took me 5.5 months to complete. Season two took me about 6 months. And it's crazy. Like living out of a suitcase, you get kind of tired of it. It's just like, holy cow, these wrinkly clothes and in and out of the car, moving into a hotel and like packing it up and then doing laundry. I don't even have laundry on my list here, but that's another thing is like laundry. You have to do laundry in all these hotels or laundromats. And I swear it was always at the most inconvenient time. You're like busy and you're like, crap, what? I don't even have a clean shirt to wear or something. And then you have to go buy one or something. But yeah, living out of a suitcase can be difficult. Also, doing this is just a lot of money. Like, think about everything you're doing. Hotels, gas, in my situation, like paying for the dates, like so many expenses along the way, and gas absolutely melted the pocketbook in season two because gas was ridiculously high priced, but just like a lot of money to do it, right? So it's great, obviously, having merch and sponsors and management team and all these things to help play a part in making that happen. Also, it's just, you know, I don't think a lot of people understand, it is a lot of hard work on the road, like to constantly create content, to put to tell a story, to put out updates. And it's hard to do that because, I mean, I go on these dates and those are like 8-hour dates, and then I have to review the YouTube episodes, go through and work with my editor on getting those squared away, uploading them, creating thumbnails, designing things, basically just creating content on all these platforms and promoting constantly. Like it gets difficult and to stay organized, and that's just the creating content side of things. That's not the planning of all these dates, right? The planning of all these dates is a monster. And it works out perfectly if my dates plan them, and then I just look through and I'm like, okay, this is perfect, let's do it. But I always have to play a part in what we do because I know how the process works. And so if my dates are like, oh, let's go to a water park for our date, I'm like, well, that's not really ideal because of the cameras and mics and everything, and so we won't be able to get the best of content with that. So I have to try and steer it in a direction that will work, that I know for the channel and everything. And so it is just hard work between planning things and scheduling dates, picking dates, creating content, editing videos, creating thumbnails and different designs and stuff like that. It's a lot of hard work, but it's very, very rewarding and work I enjoy doing. Not having a daily routine, that's also a thing that I find very difficult on the road because I didn't even realize how much I missed that until season one. But I never want to be in a routine where it's like I go to work, I'm stuck in a cubicle, and like that's my life for like 30 years. Like I don't ever want to do that. But like sometimes I used to envy when I was on the road and I'm like, man, it must be nice when people can get up, like have their morning coffee, go to work, come home and like go to the gym, and then they go and watch their favorite show on Netflix that night. They eat some dinner and they go to bed. Like it had some structure to it, where with this, there's like anything but structure. Yes, there's like the little things that you have to do each day, whether that's for date episodes or going on the dates or communicating things or posting or whatever it is. But you might be starting one date at 8 a.m., another date at 3 p.m. You might be out with one date till 4 a.m. and another until midnight. Like, so there's all that. There's checking in at a hotels, whether you're checking in at 3 p.m. or you're checking in at 10 p.m. at night. Like, it's just, and then the travel, right? You could have one road trip one day that's 8 hours, and then another that's just a quick 3-hour drive. So your schedule is just all over the place. It's literally like being a tour, or it's literally like a tour, like an artist when they're on tour and on a tour bus and things like that. And so that can get a little stressful, is not having a routine down to just do everything. And then I think the most, well, then two more I have here on some of the harder parts of 50 dates, 50 states, communication and scheduling. Like, it's really hard to schedule 50 dates. Like, it's insane to coordinate with these girls, and everybody has different schedules. You have some girls who are in college. You have some girls that are working full-time. You have some girls that are working part-time. You have some girls that are, like, doing internships. You just have so many different schedules you're revolving around. Everybody has different things going on. Some people are nurses. Some people are athletes. Some people are in marketing and in business. And it's just crazy. And so trying to make that all fit, it's just one big puzzle. And then some people are really good at communicating. Some people are really bad at communicating. So sometimes when I need an answer, a date won't respond. And then sometimes, even myself, I'll knock myself for this. Sometimes I'm bad at communicating because I'm on a date and I don't want to be on my phone. But like someone's texting me because they need an answer to something, but like I'm on my date, so I don't want to, you know, be on my phone, and then I don't reply for, you know, a handful of hours or whatever it is. And so communication is definitely key in it, but it could get difficult. And then this, I think, is the hardest part of 50 dates, 50 states, hands down, personally. And that is meeting everyone's expectations. Because with me being in the spotlight of 50 dates, 50 states, like, I'm under the most pressure with it. Like, this is the brand that I created this. And everyone has different expectations between my dates, between management, between my cameraman, between the editor, between PR, my PR team, friends, family, fans. Like, everyone has different expectations. And those expectations can overlap. What my PR team wanted me to do might not be what my management team wanted me to do. And what my family wants me to do might not be what my followers want me to do. And what my dates don't want me to do, maybe I think is right to do. Like, it's all these, this balance of expectations, and it's stressful because it's kind of a weight on my shoulders. And I think for me, especially just because I care so much about this brand and I built it from the ground up, and I've had some great help along the way doing that with my management team and editors and cameraman John and my sister and my buddy Alex, who built my website, and my buddy Snell, who was on the road with me in the very beginning for the OG followers. And so I haven't been alone doing it, but I just care so much about it that I feel like all these expectations get thrown on you, and you just try to have to balance them all out. And then I take everybody's opinions and expectations, and I try to apply it the best way I can to grow the brand. So yeah, those are kind of, those are a handful of the pros and cons with, 50 dates, 50 states. And again, cons, not really, just like some of the harder parts of it. But now moving on, we are going to tell a fan story, a fan interaction I've had. And I've told this story in the past. I can't remember who I've told it in a video or a early episode in the podcast when I did those in season one, but, This is good. A little fan story for you guys. So I remember there was one time I walked into a bar, and this was in Idaho. Shout out Idaho. And I walked in, and there were three girls in there. And I had already had my date. This was like, I was there for a couple extra days, and so decided to go out with a buddy. So I went into this bar, and there were three girls. And right when I walk in, they see me, and they and they like came up to me and they were like, oh my gosh, you're the 50 dates, 50 states guy, right? And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, chatting with them, getting to know them or whatever. And then they were asking me some questions. And then I was like, all right, well, I'm going to like go grab a drink. Nice meeting you guys. And they're like, at least give us a kiss before you leave. And, you know, I didn't want to be rude. So all three of them in a line, like, puckered their lips. And two of them knew who I was, one of them didn't. And I kissed the one, kissed the other, and then the third one, she just like started macking on me hard. And this was the one who like didn't know who I was, and I was just like it was aggressive, and I was like, okay, this is insane. Nope. And I just kinda like pulled away, and then I was like, all right, well, it's nice meeting you guys. Walked to the bar, and then I'll never forget what my buddy said that was with me. He just turns and looks at me and goes, man, life must just be so hard for you. And I was like, well, that doesn't happen every day. But that was pretty funny. And I hope if any of those girls are still following, they are listening and they know who they are in this clip and that story. But that is my fan story of the podcast. That was a funny follower moment.
What's up, everyone? Pausing the podcast real quick to remind you guys of the 50 Days, 50 States beanie drop. We are having exclusive drops for new 50 Days, 50 States merch and products each month in 2023. And this year, starting off the new year hot, is the 50 Days, 50 States beanie, and they are available now. Head to the link in the description or head to 50days50states.com before they're gone. Now, back to the podcast.
Moving on, now we are going to do state versus state. So I'm going to draw out of the 50 Days, 50 States beanie here a state. And like I said, I'm going to put them face-to-face in a face-off of categories. So here we go. Drum roll. Reaching in. First state, what we got? Texas. Okay. We've got Texas. And who is Texas going up against? Alaska. All right. Texas and Alaska in state versus state. So how this works, everybody, is there's going to be five categories. The categories are food, people, entertainment, scenery, and nightlife. And I'm going to go head to head which I think Alaska and Texas fit better into. So starting off with food, which state has better food, Alaska or Texas? That's tough. That is a tough one because Texas, they're both huge states, so they have a ton of options. Alaska, obviously, get amazing, like, seafood and coastal food, but Texas, you get some amazing, like, steaks and burgers, and, oh, that's tough. I feel like I got to go variety. I feel like I got to go for the variety route. And also, Texas, you can get some really, really good Mexican food, too. I think I'm going to have... Oh, but one of my favorite restaurants in the whole U.S. is in Alaska. Oh, what do I do? What do I do? This is tough. Okay. I'm going to give food to Texas. I'm doing it because I think there's more variety and it's a little bit more diverse and cultured. But one of my favorite restaurants, Moose's Tooth, is in Anchorage, Alaska, and that place is goated. It's so good. Oh, my gosh, I love it. All right, the people. Which state has the nicer people or the better people? Oh, man. Well, both states have really nice people. I would probably go with Texas. I feel like I've just experienced, like, a lot more southern hospitality in Texas, and people are, like, just really... at least what I've experienced everywhere, they just seem super nice and, like, welcoming and generous and, again, that southern hospitality. And so I'd probably say that. I mean, Alaska people are great, too. I just don't think I've had as many interactions with, like, Alaskan locals than I have in Texas. I've also been to Texas more. So I'm going people to Texas as well. Entertainment. Which state has more entertainment? Well... I would probably immediately give that to... Oh, that's tough, man. That's tough again. Holy cow, what a face-off we got here. I think for entertainment, because Texas, you have a ton of sports, a ton of pro sports. Alaska, you don't really get that, but Alaska, you get some, like, crazy different types of entertainment, like backpacking trips, fishing trips, the Northern Lights, helicopter tours and rides, like... going to glaciers, that, and, like, really scenic, crazy hikes. But Texas, I feel like you get a little bit more of, like, that generic entertainment. I'm going to go with Alaska for entertainment because it's just more unique. Texas might have more because of all the big cities of Dallas and Austin and San Antonio and Houston and stuff, but I'm going to roll with Alaska on entertainment. Now to scenic and scenery. Which state is more scenic? Okay, that's an easy win. That's an easy dub for Alaska. Alaska gets that dub, no question. And nightlife. Oh, it's tied up 2-2. Food, people, entertainment. Yeah, all right, 2-2. The winning one. Nightlife. That is Utah. Well, I've experienced a little bit of nightlife in Texas. I don't think I've really experienced like a nightlife in Alaska. Have I? I've like been to a couple different bars. I've never heard of like a... Wait a minute. This season, I forgot about this. This is an exclusive for people listening. This season, I went to a strip club in Alaska. That was insane. The Alaskan Bush Company. And I absolutely despise strip clubs and I hate them, but I was told by so many people that I had to go and check it out. And it was like right by my Airbnb. I walked to go get food and I walked by it and I was like, what are the odds? And I'm all about making memories, having stories. And so I went, which was insane. But I did check that out. The Alaskan Bush Company in Anchorage, Alaska. But that's like the most I've done. Other than that, I feel like I've done more nightlife things in Texas. So I'm going to go with Texas for nightlife. So Texas takes the cake in this one with all those categories. So Texas gets the gold crown, the golden trophy. So there you go. Now we are doing the hot take of the day, hot take on the podcast. And again, we're going to be doing these here and there throughout the podcast, whether it's every episode, every other episode. It'll just be a fun little segment we do revolved around either traveling or dating or whatever it may be. So my hot take of the day is that driving is better than flying. And I will preach this until the cows come home. But I just think driving is so much better than flying for so many multiple reasons. And if you disagree, then I want to hear your argument, because the only benefit I think of flying is getting there quicker, which is really high on a lot of people's priority scale of getting somewhere really fast. But however, flying is normally more expensive. It is, you don't get to, airports suck. Like airport security and TSA and all that BS just absolutely sucks dealing with, and how you have to get there so much earlier, and everything in the airports are more expensive. And if you like want to buy headphones, or if you want to eat something at the airport, it's usually just more pricey. When you drive, you get to go by your own time scale. You get to see different parts of the open road. You get to if you want to stop at a gas station and just grab some little gas station snacks, like for $3 or $4, instead of buying the expensive things that the stewardess push around or the flight attendants on the airplane. You can listen to your own music. You could be on aux. You can have a podcast, or you can have something blaring through the stereo, which, yeah, people could argue, oh, you can have headphones on a plane. Yeah, but it's not the same. Come on. That's not an argument. That's no debate. And I think it's cool because you can just see things along the way, and instead of just clouds. And I don't know. Like, I just think driving, even though it might take longer, I think it's way worth it, because I think, and maybe I think that because I'm a, well, for two reasons. One, because I'm a content creator, and so I think there's more opportunities to create content on the road, whether that's something you see, if you're at a gas station, or if you're at a hotel, if you're just, like, driving and stop somewhere. And also, I hate flying. I truly hate flying for multiple reasons, but I'm also, like, kind of just timid of it. I'm an uneasy flyer. But, yeah, so at the end of the day, driving is better than flying. That is my hot take of the pod. Now, moving on to the last part of the podcast is answering fan questions. I'm going to answer fan questions every podcast episode, and I put polls on my Instagram story, so make sure you guys are following my Instagram, and shoot me a question on there when I put those polls up, or if you guys just want to DM me or comment, you know, things like that. That's how I look for fan questions, and then I try to answer some on the pod. So with the first question, this is from Amy. And she said, what are the highs and lows of starting my brand of 50 Dates, 50 States? And who helped me through those lows? It's a great question. And I know I talked about the pros and cons of 50 Dates, 50 States, but she's asking about the highs and lows of starting it. It's a great question. I think starting it was one of the hardest things, just because you don't have an audience. You don't have an audience, you don't have traction, you don't have followers, and you know, I was very optimistic since I started 50 Dates, 50 States. I'm like, this is going to be huge. I still think, like, I've scraped the surface. Like, I've just laid the foundation, and there's just, there's so much more to build on top of. I think the highs of it was it's exciting. Like, it's new, it's fresh, it's different. Like, you're trying to learn as you go, and, like, just the learning of it's fun, I thought. The lows were, trying to grow an audience and be credible. You know, it's hard to, like, be taken serious when you have, like, 1,000 followers or 40 followers, you know, when you're, like, trying to grow something. And so I think that could be difficult. Figuring things out would be a little difficult. The logistics of when I stopped going on virtual dates and I went on a date with a girl when I quit my job and was going to go on a date with a different girl in every state for season 1 and hit the road. That was crazy, trying to figure out all of those things. It just was kind of extremely, not extremely difficult, but it was very interesting to try and maneuver around and figuring all that out. I think what helped me through the lows and who helped me, I think it was just like my inner circle, really, and also the followers that grasped on early. And if I posted a video and it got, you know, it flopped and it didn't get that many likes or whatever, but then in the comments there were some people gassing me up and they're like, oh, this was so funny, or oh, this was great, or oh, I love this. Like, that was enough for me. And I loved getting that support in my comments. And I still do. Like, anytime I get comments and people are gassing me up and I see them and they're like, this is awesome, or oh, this should be a Netflix series, or oh, like, I love this podcast, or oh, I love your content, or whatever it is, like, that makes me feel good because it makes me feel like some people are really tuning in and they're really looking forward to it. And so that motivated me to always put out content. I also just think my inner circle of, like, my friends who were really supportive, and my handful, like, very few friends were very, like, supportive of it, because a lot of people when I started it were just like, oh, what's, like, I feel like I got a lot of smack, and a lot of people that I thought would be in my inner circle and, like, really supportive of it weren't, which was kind of heartbreaking, actually, and that was a really, really tough thing. But at the end of the day, I knew it had potential, and I believed in it. That's all that matters. And so I think that's, like, a lesson to be learned for anybody, too, is that if you're starting something, you're going to expect a lot of people to be on board with you, like your really close friends or your best friends or your family, and that might not always be the case, and that's going to be really discouraging, and it could bring you down and let you down, but they just don't see it the way you see it, and they don't have your vision of what it is in your head or in their head, and so you just have to, like, keep your head up. You have to just believe in it yourself, and that's all that really matters. And so, I think just my inner circle, my sister, and everything, like, those were some people who helped me, like, just believe in myself and give me ideas and stuff, which I really, really appreciated. The next question we've got is from Bout 9255, and they asked what I look for in a potential relationship. Potential relationship, I don't know. I feel like I look for someone who's, like, outgoing, charismatic, like me. I look for someone who's like driven and motivated and really wants to, like, take the bull by the horns and has all these different dreams and ambitions. Someone who's just nice and caring and bubbly and friendly to everybody. Like, I'm so attracted to girls who can just have a conversation with anybody, like waitresses and waiters and kids and family. Like, I love that to a T. So those are some of the handful of, traits I look for when it comes to a relationship. And the last question is from Isaac. And shout out my boy Isaac. He asked, will you announce that you're in love with your California date? Now, the amount of times Isaac has commented this question on my socials, whether it is on my TikTok videos, whether it's on Instagram posts, whether he's DMing me, it is ridiculous how many times he's asked me. But Isaac, I guess it's just a mystery if I'm in love with my California date or not, so you'll just have to stay tuned for that. But that is gonna do it, everybody, for the second episode of the 50 Dates 50 States podcast. I appreciate you guys listening through. If you guys did like this episode, make sure you drop a thumbs up. if you're watching on YouTube, of course. And leave a comment. Leave a comment on things I should talk about. If you guys want to argue on my hot take, if you guys have any questions, whatever that may be. And as always, like I mentioned before, if you guys aren't subscribed to the YouTube channel, make sure you are subscribed if you're watching and listening on YouTube. Or just follow along on the podcast streaming platform that you might be listening to, like Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Yeah, more episodes to come each and every week. And so make sure you guys stay tuned for those episodes where there'll be new updates on season three, different topics I talk about. I'll be having guests on soon and things like that. And so I'm excited for those podcasts to come out and for you guys to listen. So thank you guys so much for listening. As always, best followers and fans in the world. And we will chat with you guys soon. Deuces.